Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chertelle from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Minnesota is Jenny O'Brien. Jenny is the Chief Compliance Officer for United Healthcare, a member of the SCCEHCCA board, and has been instrumental in planning the Managed Care Compliance Conference, which will be taking place January 26th to 29th in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Jenny, thanks for all that you've done to make that meeting a success and for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about the conference, both what's going to be there and some of the issues that are going to be discussed. And Jenny, why don't you, if you could start by giving us an overview of what people should expect at the meeting.
Yeah, well, you know, I really enjoy this conference and have spent the last couple of years working with many others on planning it. I think having a managed care conference focused solely on issues that plan sponsors and others have is really important. It's resulted in great networking across our industry. And I'm really excited about the topics. We have a lot of hot topics that we've added this year and that we received feedback from attendees from last year. And so we put that into action. But we also keep some of the topics that really are critical each year to having them, where you get ready for the CMS program audits, how you put together a work plan and a risk assessment in such an evolving healthcare transformation time. Cyber threats is always on our agenda. Delegate oversight, we know when many of the regulators, state and federal, are coming into audit, they're focusing more on what's our oversight over delegates and actually the oversight over some of the areas that we manage ourselves. And then really how we manage investigations, fraud, waste, and abuse, program integrity, as well as the topic of risk adjustments and, you know, other topics that really are some of the mainstays that we have each year that people can be thinking about what should be on the horizon for 2020.
Yeah, and it's definitely important to always make sure you've got the fundamentals covered, which is why we like to go back and make sure they are at the meeting. Now, you talked about some of the hot topics, and let's spend the rest of the time talking about them. First, telehealth. It's amazing how much it started to take off. It has a long way to go. Regulations haven't quite caught up. What are some of the issues that people in managed care need to be thinking about when it comes to telehealth?
Yeah, well, I'm very excited about the topic this year. The topic is telehealth, what's new, and how you stay on top of all the innovations. And so you could think, what does compliance have to do with telehealth? And what's our compliance role? One of the main things about telehealth is, how it can help impact rural access issues that we have. And so as a compliance officer, you need to be thinking about what type of program do you now need to have over to monitor the telehealth activities within your organization? We've heard from the regulators as well is they don't want telehealth to be just more visits, but to be a visit in place of coming into the physician office. And so that's another thing that you have to watch out is as your organization rolls this out, are we meeting the expectations of regulators in implementing this newer type of program?
Yeah, no, definitely don't want to find yourself in a situation where suddenly one visit turns into five and the regulators are knocking at your door and saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? Now, another issue is supplemental health. That's obviously a complex one. What are some of the key hot buttons that people need to be thinking about?
Yeah, well, I think many of the organizations who are attending have found that when they created their new benefits for 2020, they created more supplemental benefits. And when you might think, well, what do you mean by a supplemental benefit? And I would say, for example, non-medical transportation, where the regulators are now covering, in certain situations, transportation, because if you can get the members and the especially the Medicaid and Medicare members to the doctor, you can hopefully prevent emergency room visits or inpatient admissions. Other type of supplemental benefits are dental. We've learned that if you can get people in and to see the dentist and have good dental hygiene, it can prevent many other illnesses that will occur if you're not taking care of that. And so as you create these new areas of dental, non-medical transportation, vision, as an organization, you have to then make sure you have a network And that you've signed up a network of people to deliver those individuals in the non-medical transportation. And you have a dental network. So in the past, we've had pharmacy networks and provider networks. And having these supplemental benefits is opening up a new type of accountability of ensuring you're meeting network adequacy in these new supplemental benefit areas.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse than sort of going down the road and realizing you don't have enough resources to get to the end. Now, one of the issues that's rising is the issue of mental health parity. How should people be approaching this issue from a compliance perspective?
Yeah, well, there's a new Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act. And as organizations are looking at that, and with any new act that comes out, there's a lot of opportunity for interpretation. And so as organizations are looking at what type of compliance program do we need to put in place now to ensure we're meeting the requirements of this new act, it's just going to be a great opportunity to come to the conference. And we were fortunate to have individuals volunteer to share what they're doing in this area. And that this is one that I'm going to go to for sure and network and share ideas on how are you building out your mental health parity program. And, you know, what type of monitoring are you going to be doing in 2020 on it? So with many of these, it's to get ideas and to really see and benchmark where others are going in this area, hear where the regulators are going. People will share if they've had some state audits in this area, what type of questions are being asked. And then these are all things you can bring back to your organization, ask the same questions, and see what type of answers, if you were asked those, would you be able to give as an organization? So the topic of this one is called Mental Health Parity, Are You Compliant? And I think it's going to be one that is very well received and incredibly timely.
I also wonder if it's going to end up having some overlap with telehealth discussions, since that may be an opportunity for telehealth for some organizations.
You know, Adam, you're right, because as we look at more virtual medicine, right, and then you get into the cybersecurity and all the security issues. So you're exactly right. As all these new innovative programs come out, really in place to serve the members and have easier access to care and services and become more virtual than many of the other programs you have in place. And we talked about cybersecurity earlier, require us to continue to revisit and say, do we now have enough rigor around these programs that might have been good enough a year or two ago, but now with more of these virtual type services, is the rigor in place or do we need to tighten some of these up? And again, another great reason to come and talk to others in the industry and say, what type of safeguards are you putting in place and what's worked and what hasn't? What ideas do you have?
Yep. And never can underestimate the value, not just of listening to what the presenter says in front of the room, but the questions being asked by other people in the room and the casual conversations in the halls and over lunch. Now, you can't have a conversation today in any corner of healthcare when it comes to what the compliance risks are and really what the risk for healthcare as a whole is without talking about opioids. I guess two questions there, you know, can you talk about what's going to be on the agenda and what else people should be thinking about?
Yeah, I think the opioid issue, you know, as we look at it and the folks that we're bringing in to talk about it are going to be talking about a couple things. One is because we're putting edits on how you prescribe opioids, whether to new members or make sure you don't have too many edits on someone who really should be getting opioids, right? So you might say for a new prescription to opioids, they only do a 7-day prescription because they want them to come back in and say, do you really need more than that? There's other members and individuals out there that do need more than that. So we don't want to make it too hard for them to get a prescription they should be getting, right? So as a result, organizations are now putting edits in place related to opioids, and you really need to have a compliance monitoring program around to say, are the edits working as we intended to? Are the members who shouldn't be getting opioids not getting them? Is it working? And as well as, are patients who should be getting opioids getting them and not being rejected at the point of sale as well and having a huge hassle to get medication that the doctor has said, yes, they really need these? The other area is, what do you do then when you find out that there's an overprescribing physician? This happens, you know, across the country as well, is when you look and find pockets where people have been shopping to see where can I get opioids, so they might go to one place and then they don't get them anymore. Then they go down, if you live in a metropolitan area, you can go down the street. So what do you do to make sure, A, you don't have members shopping inappropriately to get medications, and then B, of those physicians that might be over-prescribing as well, and what are the consequences, and you're catching them and making sure you're catching them within your system, and that somebody else isn't catching them, some external regulator isn't coming and telling you, you have a physician who's been over-prescribing, and then you get into some kind of regulatory, matter that you have to resolve as well.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for giving us an overview of the meeting. I look forward to being there and seeing you there, and I hope those of you listening will be joining us as well. And finally, I want to just thank you all for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and ATCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.